Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drumroll please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Hey guys, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. Let's just get right into everything today because we are joined by the one, the only, Miss Kelly Kaloran Ben-Simon. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
Thank you so much for having me today.
Seriously. Now, who is this fine furry friend we have on your lap?
This is Fluff. She is my Havanese. People think she's a poodle, but she's all Havanese. Hey, Fluff.
Hello.
And she is fun and frisky, and she loves to sit with me when I'm doing podcasts.
Well, she is welcome. And we are joined behind you by the iconic horse, which I recognize.
Gorgeousness. That is,
who doesn't want a horse like that in their apartment?
I know. It's amazing. It's resin. It was given to me from the Met, and it actually looks like really, really heavy, but it's resin. So you can pick it up, but you can also sit on it. And there is a Fendi military saddle that Carla Fendi actually made for me. That is this incredible leather saddle. So he's very bougie.
Oh my God. I love it. Well, he doesn't look very bougie. So
he is. Looks to me deceiving.
Listen, that's okay. So what else have you been up to? So you're in your Soho establishment.
Yes, I'm in my Soho apartment in New York City. We love New York City. So I am here. I just finished my Florida real estate exam, the state exam, which was very, very difficult. And I passed that. So now I have two licenses for real estate, one in Florida in the Hamptons and another in Florida. So I'm very excited about that.
Congratulations. That's exciting.
Thank you. It is exciting. That's a really hard test. I have to be honest, a very hard test.
It's harder than New York, really?
Very hard because it's law. It's all law. And it's not just learning, you know, the definitions of, you know, terms. It's the application of them. And it's just very, very challenging.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, congratulations.
That was good. I'm very impressed with myself. I'm like, oh my God, that was amazing.
Seriously.
Stop.
Well, I mean, on that note, you know, that's the thing. Like, you know, people may not know, like, you're smart. Like, you have all these degrees. You went to Columbia.
I have no idea.
Well, not everyone. I mean,
there's
a lot
of things people don't know about me.
Oh, really? I mean, I didn't mean it like that. I just mean, you know, like, people see certain people on TV and they don't realize, you know, like, you have a degree from Columbia.
I know, but I think that's actually good because mystery is also really good. I mean, I think that one thing about being on reality is that you're on the show and you're having a good time and then they film it and then viewers see it. And again, like viewers are going to see something and they're going to like it or not like it. But I love these podcasts because it gives me an opportunity to talk to you guys and to kind of share, you know, who I am and what's important to me.
And that's what I love to do too. I love to like get to know someone. Like, you're originally from Illinois, right?
Rockford, Illinois. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you moved to New York pretty much to go to school?
I went to college in Connecticut, but I was started to model when I was 16. And my first roommate was Stephanie Seymour. We were meant to be, we were 16 in New York City. And I would come in, you know, back and forth. It was a different time. It was a different, like a different modeling career then. People would like, you know, come in for a job, you'd go in for a job, and then you'd go back home. And then I went to Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut. And then I transferred to Columbia and went there. And then went to Northeastern for my MBA. And now I'm going to NYU Stern for my executive MBA. So I've got a lot going on. So, right, Fluff?
What prompted that?
That's the plan. What prompted that? You know, just from being, you know, working in the magazine world for so long, you know, started L Accessory, started Gotham Magazine, you know, working with all these masters of the universe and all these different capabilities, you know, working on television, you know, the whole idea of perception reality and seeing, you know, how, you know, my fan base, which are Midwesterners just like me, kind of saw me in a different way. And then working in real estate and having this umbrella over luxury of, you know, homes and interiors and aesthetics. I just wanted to get an executive MBA to work with the new masters of the universe and to kind of see what they're up to and what their mindset is, and to be able to apply what I've learned and what I know to, you know, a new way of thinking. I think it's really important. I think, you know, everyone's talking about reinventing themselves, but you can't reinvent yourself if you don't have information. And, you know, there's so many 20s and 30s and 40-year-olds that are doing things in a different way than I am. And I want to learn from them.
That's great.
So why not?
Did you love writing and editing when you worked at all the magazines?
I loved it. My favorite job of all time was working at L Accessories. I loved it. I loved, you know, creating a concept. I loved working with the designers. I loved coming up with new ideas that no one else had. I loved, I loved all the background drama from all the editors. And, you know, even when I was at L Accessories, it was really, really difficult because, you know, I was, you know, Michelle Ben Simone's wife, and, you know, I was educated and I was a model, so I could wear the clothes and I could talk about the clothes, and I had already worked for a lot of magazines. I mean, you have to remember, when I was the editor of L Accessories, I was also working for Hamptons, Gotham, and L Accessories. So I had, at one point, I mean, I was doing like 30 issues. So I was doing so much volume of work. And, you know, they always say, like, if you want something done, give it to a busy person. And I think it was very intimidating to see how, you know, I would close the magazine early and, you know, everything was always on time. And it was on time because I was compartmentalizing all of the information because I had so much work to do. Coupled with, I had two young children and an ex-husband who was traveling all over the place. So, you know, I had so much responsibility at such a young age, and it was the best lesson and it was the best time. It was great.
Did you love being a model?
You know, I didn't really, I mean, I loved modeling. I loved the experience, but you know, I'm 5'10", I'm, you know, like got boobs, got hips, and I wasn't your traditional skinny model. I mean, today I would never be a model, never. Cause I'm too full. And, that was always like a really big struggle for me to have that, you know. Today, you know, I feel really good about myself and I go run and like, I'm healthy and I'm happy and I eat well and I have, you know, a food uniform, and I have like a lot of respect for who I am, what I look like. I mean, obviously I was in Playboy and I felt really comfortable at that time. But when I was a model, I always felt very uncomfortable. I was always, you know, asked to lose weight, and it was always, you know, very stressful for me.
Was it the typical, like in the modeling world of what we think, you know, like lots of eating disorders and drugs and just women feeling bad about themselves?
Well, I mean, I wasn't really a big druggie because I had to, you know, I was working a lot. So when you talk about like all these models that were like busy doing drugs, I mean, you have to remember those are like big supermodels that like maybe work like twice a week. I mean, I was literally traveling and working all over the world every single day. I mean, I was like, one week I was in Africa, the next week I was in Chicago, the next week I was in LA, the next week I was in Miami, next week I was in Germany. You know, I was just literally, I traveled all over the world, which was really exciting, but it was, you know, strenuous. And then, you know, you get off a plane and you're hungry and you're in a hotel and, you know, it's like they have room service, but it's not like you're, you know, maybe, you know, German bread isn't your vibe. And, you know, it's like you're trying to like maintain a healthy mindset and, or not eat at all. And you're just starving. And it's just really, it was really stressful. It was really stressful. And when people talk about being skinny and when people make fun of women who had issues with their weight, it really bothers me. It really, really sets a bad, you know, taste in my mouth because I've been there. I've seen that. And I also gained 40 pounds with each of my children. And my ex-husband was like, oh, you know, I'm shooting Madonna and she's doing back bends and flip-flops and she's breastfeeding her children and she's back to her weight and you need to lose 40 pounds. And, you know, there was just a lot of stress that I was exposed to that, you know, maybe the average woman wouldn't be exposed to, but we were going through the same thing. It's just that I had to like deal with, like, instead of my best friend looking great, it was Madonna.
Did you ever meet Madonna?
I never met Madonna. No.
My mouth is like dropping open just for a minute, but I will.
Madonna, Madonna, Madonna.
No, I had amazing. A moment.
She's over the top. She's amazing. But I mean, still, can you imagine being like 40 pounds overweight and she's like, you know, doing back bends in front of your husband and like flipping her legs all over the place. And you're just like, I haven't seen my toes in 8 months.
I cannot imagine that now. When your husband comes home and he's like, I just spent the past 10 hours working with Madonna.
Yeah, you're fat. You're fat. You're fat. You're fat. She's amazing. You're fit. You're amazing.
Where did you meet your husband, your ex-husband? You guys know that the only thing I like talking about as much as reality TV and pop culture is skincare. You know how thrilled I get when I find a new skincare product that really works. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about ORG. ORG's skincare's mineral face peel and body exfoliants are amazing, and they help bring that glow back. They gently exfoliate and hydrate your skin and only require a few sprays or rubs. What I love is you get immediate satisfaction by seeing the dead skin peel away. Their face peel that I use, it literally makes you feel like you were in a spa getting a professional facial for hours. And I really do love the instant proof. The dead skin peels right away. And that's what I personally love about it. Listen, right now for Behind the Velvet Rope listeners, ORG Skincare is offering 15% off your entire purchase. Skin is complex, but caring for your skin doesn't have to be. Visit orgskincare.com today and use promo code VELVET to see for yourself. That's orgskincare.com, promo code VELVET, and get 15% off your entire purchase.
I met him at Elle Magazine. I met him on a casting for a shoot. I actually had met him before, like 4 years before, and my hair was short and he was just like, no, she's not for me. And then I met him again a couple years later and he was like, okay, I want to work with her. And he like really had a huge crush on me, and I was, you know, working and doing my stuff and he pursued me heavily.
Did you fall into your love for Fashion Week through modeling way back? Like, have you always, because I know you're really into Fashion Week, like, were you just always into Fashion Week through that?
Well, I was into Fashion Week because I was the host of IMG's Fashion Week. So I was their host. I interviewed all the models, all the editors, all the celebrities, all the designers. That was just so much fun. IMG gave me that incredible opportunity. It was literally the most fun thing to do. And so that's why I love Fashion Week so much. And that's why people ask me to host and to do all these interviews, because I know everybody and I have a good time and I'm not intimidated. But I have to tell you, the first time I went to a fashion show, I mean, walking in a fashion show is one thing. I mean, that is just like, it's just so stressful and just so intimidating. And the lights are bright and, you know, the front row is filled with these like masters of the universe and the most gorgeous women on the planet. And, you know, you're walking in shoes that may not fit you, clothes that may not fit you. You know, maybe your hair you don't really necessarily like. So it's just kind of like, but sitting in the front row of a fashion, I mean, I remember when I was at Hamptons and they asked me to sit in the front row, and my ex-husband was on the opposite side of the front row, and I was just so nervous, just petrified. I just was like, because I just, you know, I wanted to be there so badly, but I also wanted to you know, do well and, you know, make sure that I was, you know, professional, but I'm also a very spirited beast. And so I'm always smiling. And if it's good music, I'm like, oh my God, this music is really good. And so everyone was like, I am being really sophisticated right now. And you're like laughing. And it's so funny because I was watching Emily in Paris and I'm like, oh my God, this girl is so me. You know, it's like so happy, so excited to be there, so hardworking. And everyone was like, we're French, so don't smile.
Did you love it? It was like the best show ever.
Emily in Paris?
Yes.
Oh my God. First of all, I love Darren Stark. He's amazing. He's amazing. He's always like, Kelly, he's like, you have to be meaner on TV. You have to be meaner. They love the villain. I'm like, I don't really look like a villain though. I'm not really a villain. They're like, but you are a villain. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. So I'll be a villain.
That's what Darren Stark told you after being on Housewives.
Yeah. He's like, you're great. He's like, go for the villain. I'm like, oh my God. All right.
Did you watch?
But I'm not a villain. It doesn't make sense. It's like hard for people. It's like people are like, wait, that's the villain? Okay.
And you're like, wait a second. So Melrose did well. Younger is amazing. You're like, I better take some advice from Darren Star.
True story. How great is Emily in Paris, though? How great is that show?
I was like, listen, I don't have time to watch this. I'm going to slowly watch it. I watched the whole thing in like one afternoon. I'm like, I can't stop this.
I just watched 3 episodes last night.
How could Darren Star keep getting better? That's the thing. I'm like, each time I'm like, what can you do? It's so good. It was so good.
He's just really good at subtle nuances and he's really good at interactions between people, and they're really incredibly authentic. You know, this girl is like, you know, her boyfriend breaks up with her. She's got this great job. She doesn't speak French. She's, you know, taking all these, you know, leaps of faith. And she ends up succeeding. It's so great.
And like the other actors, like it captures Paris, like that office setting. I'm like, you feel like you're in Paris.
And that's exactly what an office looks like in Paris.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Sorry,
my daughter was calling me.
She's like, hey, mom.
She's like, mom, I need to talk to you.
You know Darren Star, like I imagine you've met lots of people. Like, did you ever get starstruck? Are you the type? I mean, there's, you know, if you met like them, you do.
Oh my God. Like, I love celebrities when I see them. And it's like, you know, after being on TV, you know, you get to like go to these appearances and, you know, there's a lot of famous people there. And I am always like, I'm like, oh my God. My favorite moment of all time though was with Kristen Wiig. We were both at a movie premiere. And she was at the front of the runway, the photos, and I was almost finishing. And they were asking me who my favorite star is. And I said, Kristen Wiig, I just love her. And they're like, oh my God, she's over there. And so I go, oh my God, it's Kristen Wiig. And she goes, Kelly Bensimon? Oh my God, you're my favorite. And I literally was like, oh, wait, I'm like you. You're not supposed to like me. I'm like, it was just the sweetest, most fun moment of all time. It was so great. It's so great. She's such a rock star. I love her.
Are you shocked about that? Like when like these, you know, big celebrities come up and they're huge Housewives fans and you're like, wait, you like know me from TV?
Well, when I first met Christy Teigen, she's like, oh my God, I just love you. Just love you. And it just like, she just is so fresh and real. And it's just really nice to hear people say really nice things. And especially when it's someone that's your peer, but that you really don't know. I really have always been like really thankful and just like, that's just so cool. So cool. I'll never forget Chrissy Teigen. She's like, oh my God. I was like, it just makes it fun. So you're like, oh my God, yeah, it is fun.
Chrissy loves her Housewives.
I know. She's so cute. I love her.
Hey ladies, and I know that's most of you listening right now, and I highly thank you for that. Did you know that Third Love creates high quality underwear, sleepwear, and loungewear that is also completely comfortable? Their online shopping experience is so much fun. You take their fitting room quiz, which is so detailed that it helps you find the perfect size and style, which leads to a more accurate fit. And what I think is great is that Third Love, their cup size ranges from a double A through I, and that includes exclusive half cups. And their loungewear and sleepwear ranges from XS to 3X. By having so many sizes, it's easier for you to find the perfect fit. And their quality is there. They stress and obsess over every stitch. Listen, Third Love knows you deserve to feel comfortable and confident 24/7. So right now they're offering my listeners 20% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/velvet now to find your perfect fitting bra and you get 20% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/velvet for 20% off today. Did you ever meet John Legend?
I did. Yeah. He's super nice too. Met him many times. Great guy. So polite, nice, smart, kind. Just, he has a great story. I love him. Yeah.
How did you first get involved? So like you started in season two. So there was a whole season without you, but how did you did they approach you? How did that start?
So NBC had been asking me to do, they had been interviewing me before Housewives, and then I was at a party, and Lauren Zelazny was there, and she was the one that started the whole franchise and the idea of Housewives. She's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant woman. And she met me, and she was just like, oh my God, you have to be on Housewives. And then I went up for an audition for another show with Tim Gunn, who I had worked with many times before, and we know each other very well from fashion. And so they want to be on a show with him, and we get along really well, and but it was he already had a show with Heidi, and then it's me. It's kind of a similar kind of vibe. And so they asked me if I would be on Housewives, and my agent's like, you can't do this show. It's going to ruin your career, and you'll never work again. That's what my agent said. And I have a really big agent, IMG, and I was like, no. And my publicist literally fired me. She's like, I'm not working with you if you're going to take this show. She's like, I can't work with people that are on this show. So it was really considered bad news. And I just was like, I'm taking this leap of faith. I'm going to do it. I want the world to see the real me. It's really important. I've done a lot of great things in my life, and I really want people to see, who I am. And I was recently divorced, and new opportunity to, make new income for my family. And I just wanted to do something different. And so I did. And my agents were right. It almost ruined me. I mean, if I didn't have education and the friendships and the solid relationships that I have, I would have been destroyed. Absolutely destroyed.
Do you think your agent would say the same thing now? Like, we're firing you if you take this? Or do you think it's a totally different animal now?
No, now they're like, go for it. Now my agent's like, go for it. It's fun. And, I mean, listen, I don't have any reservations about it. I feel, I mean, just by spending a little bit of time with me, you can get a sense that, I am really open-minded. I'm always up for new opportunities. And I really am I'm a positive person. It's not like I'm a positive person. I'm just very open to opportunity. And I think that's why I have this very youthful mindset, is because I'm incredibly curious and I'm open and I'm interested. I'm actually genuinely interested in what's going on. And so I wanted to try it and I wanted to see what was going, what was going to happen. And, I thought I've worked at Elle with Absolute Monsters, and I've, done a lot of hair ads for Clairol. What could be worse? Worst case scenario, just flip your hair and smile. I'm joking. That's a joke.
But you're like, it can't
but
be worse.
I did do that. I did do that a couple of times. I was like, yeah.
Did you know any of them before you were cast? Did you know Ramona, Luann, any of them?
I had met Luann a couple of times socially in the Hamptons. She's an incredibly social woman, and I met her a couple of times, but we didn't really know each other. It was like, hi, how are you? And then Bethany Frankel came over to my house. Tommy Hilfiger's sister was having an event at my house, and Bethany was dating, apparently. I found out this later. I didn't know who she was. I thought she was just a friend. She was dating the paparazzi photographer that was taking the photos of the event. So she was there. And so I met her once, and Luann a couple of times, but I, didn't know Ramona, didn't know Jill.
Alex.
Never met Alex, no.
And did you watch the first season, like, that you weren't on? Like, so did you, you didn't even really know what to expect other than people telling you, don't do this.
No, I remember I was on a plane with my ex-boyfriend at the time, and we were going to Vegas because I was going to a jewelry show because I had this beautiful line with a company called Moab. We were doing this beautiful line for HSN. It was like all Micro Pave, Indian-inspired line. And he wanted me to come to Vegas to meet, you know, all the jewelry designers and people in jewelry and to really get to know the business. And it was on JetBlue. And my ex-boyfriend's like, you should really watch this. I'm like, I'm not watching this. Like, what am I watching it for? I'm like, you know, it's my job as a writer and an editor to always know everything about the person beforehand and let them give me their answers. But this was the time and opportunity for me to actually be completely authentic and just have fun with something new. And he was like, you're making a huge mistake. And everyone's like, you're making a huge mistake.
Okay, so then
but I don't think so. But I don't think so. I mean, listen, I've got like, I'm in a Cadillac deal with Simon & Schuster for two books. One, Dangerous Age, all about the publishing world and me being an editor, which was so much fun. And then I went deep, deep, deep into the food world because I was so obsessed about food. And I wrote this fun love story about the food world called Second Course, which was so great. I wrote this health and fitness book called I Can Make You Hot, which people are constantly asking me about, which, you know, in that book was a supermodel diet that everyone loves. I mean, literally, I did the supermodel diet this January with all my fans, and it was just the best experience. And my fans had the most incredible recipes, and we were doing it together, and it was so much fun.
Nothing is more important to me than a good night's sleep. Hey, I work too hard not to get a good night's sleep, and I found it impossible to find the right sheets until I discovered Boll & Branch. What I love about Boll & Branch is that they're 100% organic cotton and they're toxin-free. Also, they get softer with every freaking wash. Boll & Branch has higher quality sheets at a really affordable price. And I also love that they come in a variety of colors and fit everything from a twin to a California king. Listen, by listening to this podcast, you guys can experience the best sheets you've ever felt. Choose Boll & Branch. You can try them worry-free for 30 nights with free shipping and returns. And from listening to this podcast, you get an exclusive 15% off your first set of sheets with promo code VELVET at BollandBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L, and branch.com, promo code VELVET. Use it for 15% off and start sleeping better right now.
And now I'm, you know, working on some other opportunities, which I can't tell you about, but you will learn about it soon. And it's just been, you know, I think it's been a really great experience. And I wrote my second version of In the Spirit of the Hamptons, which was my first anthology that I ever wrote. I wrote another one of those. So I've written, you know, four books afterwards. I was on, you know, two other shows. I'm filming Million Dollar Listing, some scenes right now. You know, I'm having a great time. I have a new real estate career. My kids are in college and doing really, really well. And, you know, I'm the same person that I was in 2008. Same person that you met when you saw me on camera. I'm the exact same person.
Was the filming part of it though what you expected? Like, or did you get there and you're just like, oh my God, these women are crazy? Or were you like, all right, I've been through worse?
Oh no. Everyone's like, oh my God, you're doing so great. You're the breakout star. You're so awesome. We love you. Everyone loves you. Everyone loves you. Everyone's like, amazing, amazing. We love you. We love you. You're doing so great. And I was like having a really good time until like, I just was, you know, then it was like, you're like Madonna. You're like this. I'm like, who are these people? Why are they talking like that? It's so weird. But then I didn't realize it's a they're like trying to be like that. You know, I thought that I was like, why are they being so aggressive when they have never met me before? It's just odd. Like you'd never go and walk into a room and someone would be like, really?
Right. Like you don't start out where people are going to come at you that you've never met before.
No. Especially like in a friend group, people wouldn't do that. The only time that people would do that is if they were like having like, you know, mental issues or like, you know, serious problems that would make them be like that. And the other friends were like, you know, she's going through a divorce or her boyfriend just broke up with her or she has issues. You know, it's like, but don't, normal people don't do that. You don't walk into a room, people are like, really?
That is true.
I mean, if they do, then you're like,
right. If you do, you're just like, okay. Who did you gravitate towards the most, like when you first started shooting? Like, or who was the most welcoming? I mean, because they were only one season in, so it wasn't like these really established roles.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm the most welcoming. Like, Jill was really, really welcoming to me. She met me and she was really, really nice. Really nice. She was kind of like, you're the new kid on the block. Come say hi. Luann was, you know, she was my first scene. And she was really sweet. She was tough too. She was tough because we met and we didn't really click at the beginning. But I also think she didn't understand me at the beginning. Like now she gets me but I think that, you know, they all had this image of me that I was getting photographed all the time and going to these parties and, you know, that they didn't think that I worked. They didn't know where I came from. They didn't know that I was like living in an apartment by myself, raising two kids alone with an ex-husband who was always gone. Like they had no idea what my real life was like. They were like, well, she does all this stuff. It's like, yeah, I work really, really hard. I mean, by the time I got on Housewives, you know, I'd started two magazines. I'd written three books. You know, my kids were 5 and 7. You know, I've modeled, you know, my entire life. I mean, I had done a lot of work as a human, and I think it was very intimidating for them, but they didn't realize that I was home alone raising kids. And I just was like nose to the ground, like just working like crazy all the time.
They just assume what? That like famous ex-husband photographer.
Yeah. I think they just were like model, famous, fabulous.
Easy life.
Easy life. No worries, no cares. And I think that they were like, you know, they were trying to make it seem like, you know, I just didn't have any real priorities and that it was all just fun and games. And, you know, I'm a worker bee. I mean, anyone that will, you know, that you know, will be like, you know, Kelly Benson's been working all of her life and she's a very motivated, driven, ambitious, and responsible human. It's important. I'm a mother, single mother, full time, not half, not I'm only on Wednesdays, not on weekends. 24/7.
Yeah,
and I would never have it any other way. I mean, I have great kids and it's a testament to being a great parent.
It's a full-time job.
And having really good priorities. So everyone else is like feeling gorgeous and loving life and, you know, doing whatever they do. Like I'm working and raising kids. So super
stressful. It's a full-time job. Well, no, like, so when I look back upon your time on the show, I mean, there's highlights that stick out for me are running in the street. I'm sure everyone tells you about this.
Love.
Which is kind of iconic. Obviously, I'm up
my
here.
My Rocky moment.
I'm up here and you're down here, which is, I'm sorry.
Iconic.
One of the most iconic moments in Housewife history.
People repeat it all the time.
It's
constantly.
Yeah. I mean, listen,
it's
Kelly,
everywhere.
I use this in my real life all the time. Don't get me wrong. Lots of times I say, I'm the one down here and you're the one up there. I'm okay saying that, but I use it. It's a classic. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Check out betterhelp.com/velvetrope. You may not be feeling down and out and depressed or like you're at a total loss, but if your stress level is high, your temper is shorter than usual, or even if you're starting to feel strain in any of your relationships, you could probably use the chance to unload. Talk to someone who's completely unbiased and who's not going to judge you or take sides. If there's stuff you can't tell your friends or family, this is the place to do it. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Unload the stressors and get some unbiased feedback. You'd be pretty surprised at what you might gain for it. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Behind the Velvet Rope listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/velvetrope. That's BETTERHELP.com/velvetrope. BetterHelp.com/velvetrope. And of course, Scary Island. So, I mean, do you get tired of people just bringing up Scary Island to you?
Well, it's strange when people DM me and they're like, are you sick? Are you? I'm like, sick. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, what? I'm like, they asked me to go in and film a scene. And I was like, I had jelly beans. I'm like, okay, I'll go in there. You know, and people, and you know, that's a really interesting scene because it just shows the dynamic of when people are really scared that they're going to be called out, they do some really nasty things. People, when they're afraid, are like cats in the corner. And I'm just like eating jelly beans, having a good time, just like, you guys, you should think.
Well, I will always associate you with jelly beans as well to that.
Of course, place. Jelly beans are delicious. Like, I mean, listen, I'm eating jelly beans, having the time of my life, like having fun, like drinking wine, having dinner, like, you know, trying to encourage people to make, you know, salad dressing, maybe cook their steak themselves and not by a chef that's in the background, or, you know, just try to like actually do things yourself and have some like integrity. But, you know, people are going to do what they're going to do. And they're, you know, people have their own, everyone's going to have their eye on the prize. And, you know, I just don't think like that. And I don't like need to like, I don't need to make other people feel bad so I feel better.
And was it like a lot of like jockeying, or like just filming in general, was it a lot of like jockeying for camera time and like, I need to get my
always
story there?
Always. And like, I didn't have a story because they didn't want me to have a story. It was like, I filmed 6 days a week. I was the minute that they got me on Housewives, I filmed 6 days a week all the time. And they didn't want my story. They didn't want, you know, to hear about my kids. And, you know, you have to remember too, and this isn't against Bravo, but being a single parent in 2008 was not sexy. And people were not talking about being a single parent. People were not talking about being out there and single.
You guys know I'm always on the go and running around with this job, and I've never made a priority of hydrating and putting the right nutrients into my body, and I always find myself hungry. That's why 310 Nutrition for me has been a lifesaver. Their water hydrators are great. You add them to water, and they make your water so delicious. They have refreshing, healthy lemonade mixes without sugar, and my personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. My favorite's the caramel sundae, but they also have vanilla cake, shamrock cream, chocolate icing. One of these shakes, it totally satisfies my hunger. It cures my carb craving. It cures my sugar craving. It's low fat and low carbs. And hello, it tastes like dessert. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet.
Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
And having raising two young kids. Like, that was not cool. We just come off a financial crisis. You know, people are freaking out about, you know, if they're going to pay their mortgages. And they wanted to hear from a woman that looks like me talking about raising their kids by themselves and, you know, how, and my hardship. It's a joke, right? So Bravo was smart. You know, they just like, they really focused on, you know, the interpersonal relationships, kind of a Darren Star kind of vibe, and try to really focus on those interpersonal relationships and trying to get, you know, women to really get it, be ignited by me. And it was like very simple. It was really easy to, all I had to do was walk into a room with like orange hot pants and they would like literally like, you know, be tumbleweeds. I mean, they were crazy. They were like, oh my God.
Could you tell, like, was that like your role per se? Like, could you tell?
Totally. And then, you know, it was interesting because then when I got, you know, when my last season was like, was my best season because Luann and I and Jill had so much fun together. And because there wasn't an elephant in the room. It was just good news, good time. You know, I spoke about a lot of things that were really important to me because I just was like, you know, it's fun to have Barbie walk into the room, but you know, Barbie has feelings too. And, you know, I just really took opportunities and moments when I felt like it was appropriate to let people know a little bit more about me.
Did you feel like that season was just so much different? Like a weight has been lifted because Bethany wasn't there?
There was no elephant in the room. It was so much fun. We went to Morocco. I brought all these toys to all these children in the Moroccan orphanage. I got to go to the souk. I got to, you know, Luann and I, you know, I had tea in some of the most beautiful hotels in the world. We stayed in this incredible Riyadh. I mean, it was just unbelievable. I went running and these, you know, Moroccan women were like, who, you know, aren't allowed to even show their clothes. And I'm running like, you know, with bra top and shorts. We're just like, yay. I mean, there was so many things about that trip that were just really, really special. So special. And I'll never forget that. Never. As long as I live. And it was just a really great season. You know, it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun. And it's funny because that season two, you know, I decided to change up my whole look and I started wearing, I wore like a uniform when I would film. So I wore a lot of blazers, shirts, jeans, heels, like very, very simple looks. And, you know, everyone was like fashion icon, like they were just going crazy about the way that I dressed. And it was just really fascinating to see, you know, television, like 6 months later, boom, you can see if your fans like you. And the fans loved me. And it was great. And the reunion was tough for me. The reunion was really, really hard because, you know, it's like I'm sitting there and the last reunion, you know, I was wearing this gorgeous Jill Stewart dress I wanted everyone to see. So I got up and I walked around because I was in that mode of like showing everybody like what I'm wearing because I knew it would ignite them. And, you know, right after that, I went to Costa Rica to paint all these schools. And it was just so incredible. And I was always doing these great things, right? That, you know, it was like the reunion was done at 5. I was on the plane at 7. I was always going to do something really, you know, impactful and powerful that was going to really, you know, make me feel better about myself and the opportunities I had on Housewives. And I'm sitting there knowing that this is going to be this great moment. I'm going to be going somewhere great, doing something incredible. And I'm sitting there with women who just can't get enough of negativity. And I just was like, what is going on? What is going on? And there were so many moments too that was, and I would tell the producers, I was like, you guys are idiots. I'm like, just keep those cameras rolling because, you know, you can't make up Luann and I sitting there bawling our eyes out after too much wine in bra and panties. I mean, that's a sick scene, you know, come, you know, whatever. Like some scenes, I was just like, this is like not fun. There was just so many great scenes that were just like missed because, you know, we weren't filming.
Did you see a difference like between like you say your fans between like season two and season three? Like, did you feel like public outcry after Scary Island and then feel like you needed to kind of change your image in the next season? I mean, I'm not saying that that's how it is. I'm just asking.
No, but it's a good question. No, I think that it was really fascinating because after Scary Island, I was on the cover of Us. And I went to Vegas for an appearance and, you know, I'm on the cover of Us and I'm sitting there and all these women are reading all these. I'm like, this is weird. And they're like, oh my God, you look so great in your life. And then, you know, no one really cared. Like, I mean, fans were like, you know, it was also too, you have to remember it was the very beginning of social media. So all, you know, when I was on my first season of Housewives, I just joined Facebook my first season of Housewives. I had like 4 followers. And, or 4 friends, what do you call them? And so it was the first time that people were just like really kind of out there and saying what they thought. And, you know, it was really interesting. It was really fascinating. You know, people would see me in real life. They'd be like, you're great. But when people would see me, you know, when people, after they would comment on television, they were always like, oh my God, is she okay? Is she all right? Can she take care of her kids? I'm like, of course I can. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Isn't that always how it is? They will say you're crazy online and they want a picture with you in person. That is 100% how it will go. They will kiss your ass when they're standing in front of you.
Right. And then you show them a product that you love and they're going to buy it because they believe you. Well, they have to believe me because they know that I'm true. They know that I'm, because I've always told everyone the honest truth. I've always been completely 100% transparent. Every time that you see me on anything, any interview, anything from the very beginning, from way before 2006, 2005, I'm exactly the same all the time. And so people are like, wait, I know who you are. I've seen that. What's going on? Like, but some people really wanted to believe it. It was interesting because some people really wanted to believe that, like, they're like, oh, she's not all that. She's not really that nice.
How did you deal with, like, so like you said, you go to Vegas and everyone's reading Us and there's no Instagram, but people are asking you if you're okay to take care of your kids, which is implying because of Skerry Island that you're crazy. So like, how do you-
She's really, I mean, it's called defamation of character. That's like scary. That's scary. I mean, to say that you're not able to take care of your kids or to say on television that you're doing drugs, I mean, that's scary. That's bad. That's really bad. I mean, first of all, I don't take drugs. So that's weird. Second of all, I barely drink. So that's weird. And to say that just because I'm engaging in a scene that I'm taking drugs or that was not cool.
And it's like a real person's life, you know?
Well, I mean, it's a real person's life. It's taking care of her two kids on her own. You know, it's not like I'm like, there's like some big money pot where I'm like, okay, hold on one second. Let me just dip in because, you know, some people said some bad things about me. You know, that's just bad behavior. That's why I'm...
You can say it.
I had to.
You can say it. Well, I mean, also about that scene, you know, Ramona is in a way the one who started a lot of that because she was hounding you and you're on the phone with your children. Like, do you just think, I mean, I don't know if you watch Housewives still.
I didn't even watch the full scene, so I don't even really know what went on, to be honest with you. I never watched it. I mean, I filmed it, so I know. I mean, it's like, I didn't watch the whole thing. I should watch it.
I mean, do you think Ramona just gets away with
it? We should
anything?
Watch it together with popcorn. We should be like,
oh. Listen, Kelly, any day, I live in Chelsea, so Soho is not so far away. I can walk to you. I won't run through the street, but I'll just walk.
That was a great scene, running through the streets. And it's so great, too, because I just a year before had ran the New York City Marathon for Sloan Kettering for the Neuroblastoma Fund. So it was just like the fact that they wanted me running through the streets in that big Rocky moment was like a really special moment for me. People are like, you run in the streets, you're crazy. I'm like, I just ran a marathon for neuroblastoma for Sloan Kettering. Dial it back.
And it's New York. Everyone runs in the streets here.
And it's New York and it's Fifth Avenue and it's incredible and it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
And it's also iconic.
Sick. Are you kidding me?
You keep in touch with Jill and Luann now.
Yeah, she just texted me and her daughter, Allie, makes these cute masks and she was sending them to my girls and my kids and I are wearing them and they're so cute.
I love a tie-dye mask. They are cute.
They are super cute. Yeah.
They are cute.
We've got, you know, everyone's doing really great with all their product lines and I love that too. It's been, you know, I mean, I was so grateful to be able to be on HSN with my jewelry line and to be a host on HSN. I got to, you know, work with Nene Leakes and all these different people and, you know, help them sell their product, which is so much fun. Juliana Rancic. And now I have my own outerwear line, my third season with Anvil, which is doing so well. We're almost all sold out. I just launched it 2 weeks. We're almost all sold out. So it's been, you know, really fun. It's been a really fun adventure. So everyone was wrong. Everyone is wrong. But maybe they underestimated me too. Maybe they underestimated me. They thought that I wasn't going to be able to handle it. But I did.
Well, I mean, I think it's, you never watched the scene. So, and you. Just...
I filmed it. I know what happened. I was there. I already talked about it 100 million times. You know, it's like, guys, it was great. It was fun. We had a good time. Scary Anna isn't so scary. It's actually really hot.
Do you watch The Housewives?
I thought Skerry Island was really hot. I mean, that scene of me taking the photos. First of all, that bikini that I was wearing, that RS bikini, was sick. And photographing the women and seeing and having them feel gorgeous was like a really cool moment for me. It was really cool. I mean, like, you know, even Alex and Ramona feeling sexy and like, it just was great. It was great. So there was a lot of really good news. It's a lot of really good news. But then you have to have bad news too, because it's, you know, it's a docu-soap. You can't have all fun. You know, on the bottom of Netflix, they say like funny, charming, docu-soap. They always tell you what it's going to be. When they say housewives, they don't say like nice, home cooked meals, you know, fun and board games. They say like drama for your mama.
Would you go back and do it again? Like, has the good outweighed the bad? Like with all these opportunities and the books?
I mean, I did a lot of different cameos for many years. For like 3-4 years, I was on different cameos, and it was always fun. It was always fun to film. It was always fun to be there. Luann, literally for the past 4 years, has 6 years. I mean, I retired in 2011. And since 2011, she's like literally been like, you have to come with me. You have to film. You have to film. You have to film. It's been fun. It's always fun. Always a good time. They're always like, guess who's back? Which I think is so funny.
I mean, that's the thing. For someone who's only on, you know, you weren't on like 10 seasons. Like, you're still an iconic part of the show that people come back to.
I mean, it's incredible. They always talk about it all the time. It's crazy. It's crazy. So fun. So fun.
So you don't mind that it's like all these years later and you've done so many other things and, you know, we can talk about a lot of things, but somehow I'm sure I'm not the only person that sits down with you where it goes to Housewives. Like, do you mind that? Or are you just like, that's part of your
past? Part of my life. No, it's a part of my life. Just like they're asking me about my kids, they're asking me about Housewives. It was a big part of my life. I mean, it was, you know, almost 3 years of, you know, big part of my life.
Do you talk to anyone else?
It was like a serious relationship.
3 years. Listen, if I had a 3-year relationship at this point, I'd be heading in the right direction. Like,
right. It was a serious relationship. It was 3 years.
Be happy with 3 months at this point. So that's a whole nother story.
Dating is hard. Dating is hard. Tell me about your dating life. Are you having a hard time?
You know,
is that kind of COVID or what is it?
It's not that I have a hard time. It's that left to my own devices, like, I don't really care. So when I put forth
Wait, you don't care because you're protecting yourself, or you don't care because you have a lot going on and you're trying to do other things? Like, it's just not like on your radar.
It's so not. I mean, like, I'm not sitting home staring at the four walls. Like, don't get me wrong. I get out there. Right. But I make an effort and then I'm like, oh, wait, it's 7 months later. Where did that time go? I haven't made an effort.
Yeah. So how do you go out and date?
Are you dating anyone now?
I mean, I'm dating. I've had a lot of fun dating. You know, it's like I was in a very serious relationship. You know, I was married to my ex-husband. And then, you know, I've dated a lot of different guys and I've had so much fun, you know, dating all of them, all these different ages, all these different, you know, they all had, you know, hedge fund guys, you know, I mean, I've dated a lot of, you know, chefs. I've dated a lot of different people. And, you know, I had a really, really good time doing it. But now, like, I'm really ready to, like, my daughters are both in college. And, you know, it's time to really get serious. And as much as I adore all the guys that I've dated, they just weren't, They weren't right. And it's like, I've already been married once. And I already have kids. So if the next time I get married, it's going to be to someone that, like, I choose. It's important that I choose them.
I think
everyone else has always chosen me. They're like, we're dating. And then all of a sudden I'm in a relationship. I'm like, we just went on a date. Like, why am I all of a sudden in a relationship? But I also keep my personal life very private, as you know, like nobody knows who I'm dating, or I just think it's really not chic to, especially when you have children, to, you know, show who you're dating, because it's just important to keep that private. And I don't think it's good for the public to see that.
I think that's good. Listen, I see your businesses. Yes, I see nothing on your social media about who you're dating. So
Never. I mean, you'll see maybe me walking down the street with someone, but I will never talk about anybody. It's just not respectful. And it's like, I don't need to exploit a man to make my business bigger. I don't need to do that.
Is that directed towards anyone in particular, or just
just in general? Like, no one. It's just, I just don't like that.
What's your, like, so you don't have a specific type? Like, you don't date just younger, just hedge fund? There's really no type.
No, I mean, my ex-husband is now 74.
I've dated,
you know, the youngest guy I've ever dated was 30. Alejandro, so sweet. But you know, it's like 30, 40, 50, dated guys my own age, dated guys a little bit older, dated guys younger, hedge fund. I mean, I like business guys just because we get along better. I don't like guys that are in my business because it just like, I tried to date actors and it just doesn't work. Like we're just, I'm on reality and people walk down the street and they're like, oh my God. And they're like, you really shouldn't talk to fans. I'm like, well, first of all, I'm not an actor. So I'm not like you. I didn't go to Stella Adler. I'm not like, you know, bougie. And, you know, if I don't say hi to my fans, they know me as real. And so that would be really strange if I was all of a sudden like now snotty.
Well, I think that's a good way to be.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just good to be open to possibility and to have fun with dating.
And
are you on any sites?
Like, okay, so a friend just got me on Hinge recently.
Yeah, Hinge. I don't know. I hear about it.
You know what? I think the best site is Instagram. Like, I love the Instagram DM. I love, like, because people will, like, listen to the show and slip into my DMs or vice versa. I just like, because you know what it is? Like, you see everything about someone on Instagram. Like, you put all your stuff out there more or less.
Wait, so you just go and be like, hi, I think you're hot?
Okay, you don't do that, but you know, listen.
Well, what do you do?
Well, like, let's just say some random person.
How do you slide into someone's DM?
Well, like, so if some random person says to me, like, oh, I love listening to your show. I mean, you're out of nowhere. That's nice. Okay. So say I'll look at the picture. I'll be like, oh, you're kind of cute.
Okay, so if they're saying, on your hard wall or on your DM? Are they DMing you and saying, we love your show, or are they on your hard wall? And then
DM.
You're like checking them out. Oh, okay. Oh, so they're DMing you first. Okay, I thought you were like, oh, hi.
No, but if someone says that, you know, I mean, I like to get back to as many people as possible, but then if someone's cute, you're like, hey, you know, you just take it from there.
Really?
Because then at least
but
you can-
a stranger.
Yeah, but at least you look at like 8,000 pics. I don't like a dating site because you put like 3 pictures and I don't know. I don't think it's the real person. Like to me, like my Instagram is sloppy. Like some days I look great. Some days I look like crap. Some days the pictures are, I mean, anyone that has a perfectly curated Instagram, I am in awe because some people do. It's just not me. I don't have time for that.
So I
throw it up there.
I actually went on dating sites for my first book, The Second Course, because my ghostwriter, she was like, she's like, you don't really date like a normal person. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, everyone's on, you know, all these different sites. So I want you to go. I'm like, people are not going to believe that I'm on this site. She's like, no, no, no. I want you to go and I want you to engage them and take screenshots of the conversations. And some conversations were really crazy. And I went on one date.
And?
No, it's not good. I was like, no, it's not good.
When you're on the dating sites, do people say like, wait, or, you know, because it's straight men.
They don't believe me. They don't believe it's me. They actually on Bumble twice. I was like, I just got kicked off. People were like, reported me. And then I got reported.
Because they were like, it's a fake profile.
I know. I was like, hold on. I'm supposed to be doing this. This is my work. And you guys are like ruining my vibe.
That's funny.
Isn't that funny?
They're just like, this can't be Kelly Bensimon. She can't be actually on Bumble. And it was.
Yeah.
So where do you meet people? Well,
one
you just
guy
get
was
fixed
like,
up?
One guy was like, I'm in the bath and I'm reading a sexy book. And I was like, oh my God, this is like really creepy. I'm like, I'm laying in bed with Fluff, like watching watching the Kardashians and you're like texting me these really crazy things.
Do you love the Kardashians?
Love the Kardashians.
It's still amazing, isn't it?
I love Kris Jenner. She's been like an incredible mentor. She's helped me out so much. Every time I'm like, Kris, oh my God, these people are crazy. She's like, Kelly, just smile. Don't worry about it. Just walk away. Just smile and walk away. She just has the best advice. And she's just such a solid human being. She's just solid. Solid. Rock solid.
Is that the best advice Kris ever gave you?
Just smile and walk away. She's like, what are you going to do? Tell people the truth like over and over again? It's like, really? Just smile and walk away.
Do you get tired also of people bringing up, I mean, to your point of over and over again, like I imagine most people want to talk to you about Bethany. Like that must be tiring.
I think it's just, it's not, they don't want to talk about her. They want to talk about that dynamic of friendship that they've had before. That's what they want. It's not her. they want to talk about that one person, that guy or that girl that, you know, was, you know, that dynamic was a really interesting dynamic because, you know, I didn't know who she was and I wasn't negative or positive towards her. But when she was so aggressive towards me, like I turn off, like I, you know, at the end, you know, when you're going to be nasty to me, like I just literally turn off. I'm just not interested. I'm not listening. And, you know, people are like, I mean, my friends will tell you, I mean, you can ask anyone that, like, if I'm tuned out, like you could be talking and tell me the greatest story. And I'm just like, just not interested. It's like, it's just not, I only have the bandwidth for so much. And if it's not like productive or good news, it's just, I'm kind of like, mm-mm. I even tell my friends and my business associates, like, I'm like, the minute that you start to complain to me is the minute that you don't have my attention. They're like, but you're not listening. I'm like, no, I'm not listening. You're right. I am not listening.
What's your sign?
I'm a Taurus.
Okay.
So I'm very grounded and solid and I'm a helper. I like to make people better. I'm a build up, not a push down.
I get it. Like if people come at me and there's like too much drama, I'm just like, it's not that I can't fight. I'm shutting it down.
But I don't have anything at stake, I guess is my point. There was nothing at stake. There was nothing, whatever she said, there was nothing at stake. There was no reason for me to respond. There was no reason for me to engage. Do you know what I mean? It's not like she slept with my boyfriend. It's not like she, you know, cheated on my ex-husband. It's not like she did something that harmed my family or friends. It's not something that really was like touching at my heartstrings. It was just, you know, she wanted to know me and made a bad decision as to how to get to know me. And then that was the way she was trying to get attention and that didn't work. And then she was trying to get attention and didn't work. It was never working. It never worked. The attention just never worked. All you have to just be like, hey, what's up?
Yeah. Like if someone comes
off camera, we had so much fun. Like we had one February, we were shooting some cover. I can't remember what it was. Like some like entertainment cover. It was really fun. And it was February. And, you know, she was asking what I was doing for Valentine's Day. And I was like, I just bought this candy bikini. You've got to get one. And I showed it to her and like, you have to get this. It's the most fun thing on the planet. It's just so much fun. First of all, cause I love candy. So I was like, I don't care if he doesn't like it. I'll like it, whatever. And it's just, you know, playful. It's like not tacky and cheesy. And she was like, oh my God, that's just so much fun. And she's just, you know, off camera, she was really great. She was easy. She was cool. She was like mellow. But then, you know, on camera, she just switched and maybe that, you know, that's her persona. But you know, it's like, I was the exact same person. I would give you a candy bikini on camera and off camera.
So if Bethany walked into this conversation right now, what would you say to her?
I'd be like, hey.
You like never run into her in the Hamptons? I mean, the Hamptons is small.
Never. We just don't have, the same friend group and we don't deal with, you know, we're never around the same people ever. I mean, never. I mean, I haven't seen her in 8 years, 7 years.
You're busy.
The last time I saw her was when I filmed with her on Housewives.
Wow.
The scene at the boutique. That was the last time.
What do you think about Dorinda?
So, do you see what I mean? That's just, Dorinda's fun. She's super sweet, nice. I knew her from a long time ago because her boyfriend used to live in the building. So I met her many times and she's just a very spirited, fun, cool girl. Great personality.
Are you shocked that she's gone?
Like, I don't really watch the show. So it's like, you know, if you asked about Scott Disick, I'd be like, oh my God.
Scott Disick is one of the best parts of the Kardashians.
I love Scott Disick. How cute is he now? He's just like, I just want to be better. I mean, I just like, if that pulls at your heartstrings that he wants to be better. I just love that. You know, it's like, sometimes it takes a person to like, you know, get back together. I mean, what if happens if like he and Courtney get back together? Wouldn't that be so great?
Listen, he has the best sense of humor. Best.
He's adorable. And the best watch. He's got really good bling.
I'm a watch person, so I notice watches. He always has like the Philippe Patek, like it's always,
always.
Like, yes.
Always.
See, yeah. I notice.
He's cute. He's fun.
What other shows? So you love Emily in Paris. You love Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
I'm obsessed with Schitt's Creek. People are just like, you are like the character in Schitt's Creek. And I'm like, I am a lot like her.
Schitt's Creek is great.
Schitt's Creek is amazing. I'm kind of like, wait, what are you trying to do right now? Why are you trying to ruin my vibe when I'm having the best time ever and the best hair day ever? I'm like, what are you doing?
Did you ever meet any of the other Kardashians through Chris?
Khloe and I did a couple of appearances together. She's super fun. And then I filmed something with Kim because we were both on Playboy. And so we filmed a scene in Florida about Playboy. And she's just been great. And I had dinner with her a couple of times. And she's just a really great girl.
Do you love the fact that you were in Playboy? Like, just as part of things you've done in life?
You, like, love the fact that you were in Playboy?
Well, I mean,
love is a big word.
Well, I mean, it's something that, you know, when you look back on your life, like, that's kind of a big deal. Like, not everyone is asked to be in Playboy.
It's a big deal because I was 40. It was a big deal because I was 40. And, it was a big deal because I was 40 years old, had two kids. Everyone was like, you're a model. Like, this is so simple. But I used to body shame my own self. So it was a really, really big deal for me. It made me really, really proud. And it was just so funny because the guy that I was dating at the time, you know, he was so insecure about me being on the cover of Playboy, and we were in Florida and, you know, he was doing his work and I was having this big party, and he was just so jealous that I was on the cover of Playboy and getting all this recognition. I'm like, you should be so proud because I'm so proud. You know, I've been running and swimming and taking care of myself and making good food choices all my life. And sometimes not making good food choices because I wanted to be thinner, but I'm so proud to be where I am and to be the human that I am right now. And he just was like, I hate you.
He's like, uh-uh.
Yeah, he just was like, he couldn't handle it. And it really bothered me. I was like, you're not going to ruin my thunder. Like, I've had so many men ruin my thunder. You're not doing this.
No, I mean, I think it's not something most people are asked.
Right. At 40. I was 40. I would do it again. I mean, I actually feel like I'm in better shape now. I would do it again.
You feel you get in better shape as you... I feel like I get in better shape as I get older.
I'm 52, and I feel like I'm in a lot better shape now. A lot better shape than I was then. But I'm also in mentally better shape, too.
Yeah. Listen, I don't think anyone... The 20s are just a mess. So a mess. I don't know who would want to back to that experience in life.
They're a mess.
Well, how do you feel?
Anyway,
talk to me about real estate, because I know that you're filming parts of Million Dollar Listing now.
So yeah, I'm filming some scenes for Million Dollar Listing, which is so great. Real estate has just been an incredible opportunity for me because it's everything that I love. I love aesthetics, and it's a transaction business, but you have to remember too, that it's not, you know, we see all these shows about, oh my God, I just got the price down. It's a transaction business, but it's the number one home that you will purchase for yourself or that you will sell for yourself. So it's a very, very big deal. And there's a lot of emotion that's attached to it. And, you know, when I sold my family home in the Hamptons, you know, I have a lot of reservations, but I needed to sell my house. I needed to provide for my kids. And, you know, it was a very, very, very difficult opportunity. And I was working with a real estate broker that was, you know, that I did not respect. And I just, when my mother passed, she was like, I want you to get your real estate license, and I want you to help your father help our sell our family home, because I have a lot of integrity and I'm also tough. I mean, you come up against me in business and you won't be happy.
I'm obsessed with New York real estate. I'm upset. No, I'm like obsessed with real estate. No. I just like real estate is, you're planning to just split your time between here and then like down in Palm Beach in the winter. Is that what you're planning to do with real estate?
Yeah. Because I spent a lot during COVID. I spent 4 months there, and I've spent a lot. I've been down there, you know, I've been going down to Florida all my life. When I was model, like from the time I was like 19 years old, I've been going down to Florida, you know, like a lot during the fall and winter. And, you know, I went there as a child, to Palm Beach as a child. So, you know, just that area is very familiar to me. But I just spent, during COVID, my oldest daughter and I would take these 2-hour walks, and we'd walk all through Palm Beach. And I really got to know the streets, the neighborhoods, the houses, the architecture, you know, the aesthetic. And so I just was like, I need to get my license. So I took the school test and then I just took the state exam, which was really hard. I told you that before. And I'm really excited to be able to, you know, work in different markets.
That's who would you choose to sell your Soho loft out of, Frederick, Ryan, or Steve Gold, or Tyler?
Steve Gold, I love. He's so great. And actually, I was going to move to Florida 3 years ago. And four years ago. And I gave it to Steve to see if he could rent. And it was so crazy. He found this woman from Chicago who did not want to even come into the apartment, didn't want it to be touched. She wanted the furniture, everything to be here. All she wanted me to do is just take the clothes that I needed for to go where I was going with my girls. And she wanted to rent it for 2 years. And she was never going to set foot in it.
Really? I mean,
people are weird. People are weird. They just want stuff.
Is she just a Kelly Bensimone fan? Like, that's just very strange.
I don't know. I just thought it was strange. But I also thought it was so cool. I was like, this girl's got balls. She's like, you know, she just wanted to, like, have the apartment. And, you know, I thought it was really cool.
Well, listen, there's a lot to love about Steve Gold.
He's so great.
And he's very attractive, if I can.
He is very attractive.
So hot. So that's good. So, I mean, that's great. I'm glad you're enjoying real estate.
So much fun.
Anything else?
But you know what the thing is? Yes. The great thing about filming a $1 million listing with Frederick is that, you know, and this is why I wanted to be on reality. It's because Frederick and I can have the best time and then have a serious work conversation about transaction. But then, like, 5 minutes later, we're having, like, the best time. And that's one thing that, there's a takeaway from, you know, all of these different opportunities, is that I want people to realize that, you know, if you do what you love and you're secure with who you are because you love that job so much, you can have the best time. You can do cartwheels. You can do, you know, sand angels. You can do all this stuff and smile like crazy, just like this girl, Emily in Paris, because you know what you're doing. It's the people that are grumpalumps who are so insecure about people being happy is because they're so insecure about their value add. And so know what you love, know what you're good at, know what you're not good at, and then go for it and smile all the way through it and do cartwheels and snow angels all day long because you've got this.
Or a lot of people are not happy in life and they try to bring other people down. So that's part of it too.
So if you're not happy with life, talk to your friends. Talk to your friends and say, my life sucks. How can I change this? How can I make it better?
You don't work on Frederick's team though, right? Like you work at Element.
No.
Okay.
No. I work for the Holly Parker team. I work for the number two team.
That's what I thought.
She's a baller. She's really, really, all the people that work on my team, you know, came from finance. My partner has a JD MBA. I mean, she's just incredible. Incredible. I call it strategic partners. And that's another takeaway too, is that if you don't know the answer, find someone that does. That is like crucial to being successful. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to like be on reality and start products and do all this stuff. Just, you know, start working with people that are really, really great and you're going to be better.
That's true. And one final question. When people buy houses or rent houses, does it ever come up and they're like, oh my God, hey, Kelly. I mean, you're a real estate agent, but like, does that ever come in where people are just like, it's you?
Well, some people want me to work with me because I'm Kelly Bensimone from TV. Some people don't want to work with me. Some people are just like, she's not for real. She just not, you know, doesn't know what she's doing. I'm like, okay. And this one woman, I was showing them this beautiful apartment in the West Village, really, really expensive apartment, like iconic. And a friend of mine is like, okay, if you can sell it, you can sell it. And so this woman came in with her husband and she goes, oh my gosh, I met you at Azadine Elias in Paris. You were with your daughter and we were both trying clothes on. And, you know, it was like my old life before Housewives. Like, you know, she knew Azadine Elias. She knew, you know, she was shopping there. She knew that I knew him. And that was actually really cool. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. It's cool.
I love it. Thank you. I know you're really busy. Where can we find you online? Where can we find you online too, so people can find you?
You can find me, Kelly Bensimo, on Instagram, Twitter, Kelly K. Bensimone on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn. You guys are welcome to DM me, ask me anything, anytime. I love it when fans ask me for advice, and I love it when fans give me advice. So if there's something about me that you think I should change or that you think will help me be better, let me know.
I appreciate you too. And the next time we chat, I promise I will not mention one word about Housewives. Love you.
You can mention anything you want anytime.
Okay.
Anytime. It's all good news. And if I can help people be better from my experiences, it's even better news.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Love you.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.